You're listening to Thrive with Karina Grueling, a personal health and life design podcast for the modern everyday woman. Tune in and get inspired on how to thrive in your body and life. This is your host, Karina Grueling.
So welcome back to another episode of AstroBitter. And today I have some exciting news. Joining me on the show is Jill Loftis, and she is an astrologer, mystic, yogi, and mom. And she's offering spiritual counseling services, tarot readings, and leading workshops and trainings on meditation, breathwork, and life transformation. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you. Thank you, Karina.
So how did you first discover astrology, and how has it transformed your life?
I actually first came to astrology through the practice of Kriya Yoga. I went through yoga teacher training and, you know, it started out with just the physical practice of yoga and then got into the deeper levels. And as I explored that, my teacher was like, well, you know, one of the things that we must do is understand our karma and study astrology. And I kind of thought, yeah, right, whatever. You know, I would occasionally read my astrology in the paper and it never made sense or anything. And I kind of discounted it. But then I had my first professional reading and it was completely transformative to me to understand that, yes, I am this abundance of contradictions and that to understand myself and my mission in this incarnation and the gifts I have and the challenges I'm going to face was really so useful and helpful. And so I began to study more in depth and over time offer readings casually to friends and then take trainings and eventually became a professional astrologer.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
How about you?
Yeah, that really speaks to me. Like I was, I think, around 17 years old when I first encountered astrology. I met someone who was doing a birth chart reading for me. And I found it mind-blowing. And I discovered that I have a lot of air, a lot of water elements in my chart. And yeah, which explained why I struggled to connect my heart and mind. And yeah, I would either be too caught up in my thoughts and overly rational, or I would be swept away by my emotion. And I never understood why until I had my first reading. And then it became clear to me that I really needed to learn like to feel with my head and to think with my heart. And astrology also helped me understanding others better, not to categorize them. I think we need to be very careful with that because sometimes this can be a tendency when we are interested in astrology. But to comprehend, yeah, why others act, feel, and think the way they do. And yeah, and I'm super excited that you are here today. And you'd already told me this will be a very, very intense month. So let's start.
Yeah, April really is a lot. This whole year is a lot, but April is some special astrology, you know, not all difficult. You know, I often have people say to me, you know, when's the good astrology, Jill? It's all, again, it's transformative. It's about growth. And so, but yeah, still understanding the waves and the cycles is really important. So yeah. How about March? How was March for you?
How was March for me? March had many surprises in store for me. I was the whole month, I have been detoxing. I'm leading at the moment a detox and I was really like looking forward to taking long walks and yeah, just being with myself, going inward. And then there was so much happening on the outside that I couldn't influence. It was not coming from me and it completely shifted all, let's say, the plans I had. And yeah, and had many surprises regarding the people around me. Like there was a lot of stuff going on in other people that I didn't feel, I didn't see coming. So it was a big surprise. March was a big surprise for me and was completely different than I had expected it to be.
Yeah. Life is what happens when you're making plans. Yeah. It's been kind of like that too. There's been a lot of left field kind of like, oh my goodness, I now have to manage that kind of things, mostly with other people. My husband and I actually also got sick during the month, which is kind of unusual. And it just felt very much like a heat imbalance. I was thinking about you because I was like, what would Ayurveda say about this in this, you know, watery Pisces season? And I have this massive heat imbalance in my body. But so, yeah, I'm looking forward to your tips to kind of manage some of the astrology that's coming up, because it will be, a lot of it will be kind of heat focused. Mm-hmm. So especially, you know, we have a lot of groupings of planets in the sky right now, and especially over the whole month of April. And when the planets get really close together, we typically say within 3 degrees or less, they influence each other very strongly. It's called a conjunction. And when you have three of those planets or more all grouped together that closely, we use the term stellium. And it's just, it's no different than if you have someone who has linked arms with you, you guys have to figure out how to work with each other. And the planets are doing that, particularly in the sign of Aries. And so it's like a nozzle with a focus of energy flowing very strongly in that area of life. And then, you know, I really think that being able to manage the heat of Aries, not just the sun moving into Aries, but having the North Node there, which is about karmic relationships and individuation. Chiron is there bringing up the woundedness of Aries and highlighting any negative Aries traits. We've also got, you know, Mercury there, which is going to give people a lot more fire to their mind and their speech. And the goddess of discord, Eris, is also present in Aries. And so what kind of tips do you have managing that, like, energy of spring is already fiery and now we're just really going to turn the volume up on that kind of margin vibe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, during the month of March, the energy of Kapha was gradually shifting to Pitta. And when we think of spring, now it's a time of renewal, of growth in nature, you know, with the plants sprouting, flowers blooming. And it's really this burst of new life that is fueled by the transformative energy of Pitta, which drives the process of growth, renewal, regeneration. So how can you tell if your Pitta is aggravated? Maybe let's start there, because not everyone will be affected by it. I think we will be more prone towards a Pitta imbalance, but what are some signs? So increased Pitta can lead to all kinds of skin conditions such as acne, rashes, hives, inflammation. So everything that is kind of red and itchy. And Pitta imbalance can also cause symptoms like acid reflux or heartburn or diarrhea, loose stools. And some may feel excessively hot, yeah, experience night sweats, or they will have a flushed skin. And some of the emotional signs could be more irritability or feeling impatient or more anger, frustration, intolerance. So while Pitta can enhance, you know, this mental sharpness and this focus, and they are famous for that, but when we have too much Pitta, they may also lead to very critical and judgmental thoughts, you know, to perfectionism. And then they can become also quite competitive, I think, which resonates very well with Aries too. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, absolutely. Totally agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, it can also result that we have intense hunger or thirst. And that's not physical hunger. It's we can kind of, we eat more and we can't understand why, because we are just more hungry. And another common symptom that I often observe with my clients is sensitivity to light, yeah, red or inflamed eyes, and also vision problems, because Pitta rules the liver and the liver opens into the eyes. So any eye problems in spring that are more itchy, red, yeah, inflamed, that can also, show us that Pitta is aggravated. So this fiery energy that you so beautifully described is, so we want to focus on cooling, on hydrating foods. So we need to include plenty of sweet, bitter, and astringent tastes in our diet. So we can think of sweet fruits or leafy greens or cucumbers. Coconut water is also amazing. And we really need to avoid an overconsumption of any spicy, salty, oily, and sour foods, because all of them, they can really aggravate that fiery energy. And if you already suffer from a Pitta imbalance, it can become worse. Now, and when we have so much fire, we need plenty of water throughout the day so that we stay hydrated, that we cool our body from the inside out. So we should always aim for temperature or warm water as icy cold beverages, many love that, especially when you feel so hot, you just want to drink something that is really ice cold, but that is really like a shock for the digestive system, and it can aggravate pitta energy. And I mean, you're also a yoga teacher, and like, I also like to incorporate some yoga poses. Like the ones that come to my mind is maybe forward folds or seated twists, gentle back bends. Maybe you have some more in store. But these are some good ones in order to cool down. And like hot yoga, power yoga, like be careful with it. If you do it in the early morning hours. Otherwise, the fire could increase even more. But I know that you will tell us a bit more about even, it seems like there is even more fiery energy during this month. So what's coming up next?
Yes. Well, and part of that is we're in the energy of eclipses. Now, the eclipses begin in March. The first one's on the 25th, but we have our an eclipse in the sign of Aries on April the 8th. And eclipses are activators. They really do, they amp the energy. They increase the volume. And it's almost like it's a new moon. So there's new beginnings, but it also is, it's almost too much energy. So I would suggest, perhaps being more observant of it versus being a time to ritualize any initiations or new beginnings and things like that. And it's more about being adaptable. It's at 19 degrees, 24 minutes of Aries, if you know your chart, but it's also going to be touching Mercury. I think the mind in particular is going to be really active and potentially aggravated. And as you were mentioning, there are powerful, positive Aries features, right? Strength of will and endurance and things like that. But the shadow is anger and upset and immaturity. So, what kind of dietary choices can feel like yet grounding, but also pacifying of pitta?
Yeah. So some of the ones that I mentioned, like leafy greens. So everything that is like coconut water, grated coconut, coconut milk for cooking, loads of leafy green vegetables. But you also mentioned grounding, no? Because that's also important. So I often then mix leafy green vegetables, for example, with sweet potato, because sweet potato is not too warming. Like it is slightly warming, but it's very grounding. And so also to include some of the root vegetables is also important. And what for other foods come to my mind? Yeah, I would use spices also like coriander. Like coriander as a spice or as a fresh green herb. Also basil is nice, or parsley. And also to mix it maybe with grains that are not too starchy, but that, we need good grains. But for example, quinoa is a good one to use during the spring season, because quinoa is slightly bitter. And the bitterness always helps to reduce the heat in the body. There's also like artichokes just come up. Artichokes are amazing as well. And I usually cook them, and then I even drink the water of them.
Oh, really?
And, wow. Yeah, it's really good. Like if you really have a wave of heat that you feel in your body, or you are mentally too active, and then you drink the water of cooked artichokes, it's really helpful to... But even also after spring, spring is we just finished the kapha season, and kapha, we accumulate normally some humidity, some dampness in the body, and the bitterness really helps to reduce it and to get it out, so that we kind of, we also open up again and we start to blossom and we get these visions, what we want to do with the rest of this year.
Wow. Yeah. You could also feel some exhaustion with the eclipse, just because literally the light of the sun is being blocked, so to speak. And so I think it's almost like there could be this buildup of energy simultaneous to feeling somewhat exhausted. So I guess I guess eating very seasonally is part of the answer to that. Yeah.
Mm.
Other tips might you have for that?
Yeah, what you mentioned, this eclipse energy. I remember last year, I found it really exhausting. And I just thought, oh my God, I really like the next eclipse season. I have to deal better with it because everything was just now, like mentally, physically, emotionally, it was just so intense. And you feel kind of, wow, all this energy is rising and is challenging you. And what I find, like when we know that the season is coming again, and I mean, we already feel it energetically. I mean, I think it starts a couple of weeks before and we also feel it a couple of weeks after.
Absolutely. At least a couple of weeks. Sometimes you can feel it. I mean, I would give it at least a 2-week orb of influence, but it can ripple out even longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
They typically relate back to about 19 year cycles, if you want to look back. So you could look back at 2005 and kind of see what you were managing back then. There could be some related themes.
Wow, that's interesting. That's very interesting. 2005? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Contemplate, yeah.
Yeah.
It's generally, a new initiation. But okay. It is eclipse energy. I think of it kind of like holding your garden hose, you're watering the garden of your life, right? And then all of a sudden, it's like you have a giant fire hose and there's just so much coming out and you can't really direct the energy very well. And that's why you have to kind of simultaneously hold on a little more loosely and create a little bit more space, but also just kind of take a step back because it just is so much energy.
But the eclipse season, can we also use it to have massive breakthroughs?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, things can change very rapidly, either way, you know, and as we often know, whether something feels good at the time, it's sometimes whether it's good or bad is something that to be determined with a longer mm-hmm. view.
Yeah. And what I realized what is helpful for me during the eclipse season is it's really a good time that we set boundaries. Really learn like what you just said. No, we need more space because if there is so much intensity, like we need space to breathe. Yeah, this brings in the Vata element, air and ether. And so when we learn to say no to commitments, to tasks that overwhelm us, and we really establish very clear boundaries. And normally, Aries energy is amazing to use for learning to establish clear, healthy boundaries with our work, with relationships, with social activities, and then. First, we prevent the burnout, but also we have more space to breathe and also to go inward and to see, okay, what is it trying to tell me? What do I need to overcome? Yeah, what is ready to, like, let's say, to destroy, to let go, or what do we want to create? And also this, I find this high intensity is also like we need to incorporate a couple of stress reducing techniques into our daily routine. Mine is breathing exercises. When I feel it gets emotionally, mentally very intense, then I just I do always breathing exercise in the morning, but then I just increase it. No? And or also a guided meditation, because what I realized, but this might be very different for other people, that when it's mentally and emotionally so intense, when I just sit there and concentrate on my breath, like I just, like my brain is just going crazy. I have too many thoughts, too many emotions. And then when I follow a guided meditation, for example, a body scan or like on YouTube, you find many, or also on Spotify, I like also the ones of Deepak Chopra. Then it's, for me, it's easier, no? Sometimes just to follow than meditating silently when my mind is super busy. Journaling is also helpful to gain more clarity, just to get it out somehow. And in Aries season, for me, like this anger that you mentioned, that and in Aries season, we can have these outbursts of anger, then just taking a pillow, screaming into it. Yeah, or yesterday, I mean, today was the start. I think today is the start of Aries season, right?
Mm-hmm, it is,
like,
yeah.
While we are doing the recording, no? Like we have the 20th of March. So when you get the recording, it will be the 1st of April. But I could really feel it yesterday that it's coming. And then with my daughter, we did some lion, like we did the posture of lion yoga. And then we just screamed at each other. And that was also super helpful just to get that out, because this energy, yeah, it can destroy a lot, but it can also create a lot. And
Yeah, in the chakra system, the energy of Mars, which is the planet that rules Aries, is your third chakra. It's the belly, right? And so you had talked about twists and things like that, but those gut reactions, we have to stay nimble so that we lift that energy to make wise decisions, not too much, you know, not too much. I mean, spontaneous reactions can be positive, but sometimes, especially, you know, the other thing to mention is that Mercury stations retrograde. And as we step into the month, on the first of the month, we have the retrograde that's going to influence us all of the month. And it's, of course, in Aries. So
as well, wow.
Right. And so, you know, another way to look at this is to step across the sky from the sign that's right across from Aries, where the south node is traveling, and that's Libra. And you have to balance it with that, you know, kind of the literally balance of Libra, weighing things out, considering, taking a breath before you speak. Any kind of shadow Libra will be highlighted at this time as well, because if you've been self-sacrificing or giving up too much for a partner or repressing the things that need to be said, this energy will draw it out. Breathwork is the key, right? Before you, as the mind reacts, you take a breath and then you speak, right? But especially this month, because there's going to have to be a lot of things that you reconsider, rethink. You thought you'd resolved it. No, here it is again, the conversation. And it's just initiating you to the next level. But keep that in mind for the month of April. Don't purchase anything electronic if you can avoid it. You know, just all the regular Mercury retrograde protocols are in place.
Mm-hmm. And Mercury is also famous for being misunderstood, right? Like it can bring up issues in conversations because the other person understands something completely different, no?
Oh, totally. What I love to use during these times is the phrase, "What did you hear me say?" Because especially, for example, you know, I would say to my daughter something about what she was wearing, and, you know, I would think that I was saying something nice or complimentary, and she'd be like, "Are you telling me I need to change my clothes?" I'm like, how did you get that out of what I just said? You know, but it's also time to double check. You know, if you think maybe somebody didn't get your email, they probably didn't. And you want to be clear and kind in your speech and in your thoughts. And,
like a Libra.
Oh yeah, yeah. And even if you're not saying it, a lot of people will feel very, you know, at least I didn't say it. Well, even if you're thinking it, you're still sending those vibratory waves out into the world, and so. Look at the relationships and the interactions you're having with other people, and they'll tell you whether you're really maintaining that peace, compassion, patience, but also a positive assertion and assertiveness. Mm-hmm. If you're finding the right tone, your outer world will reflect that back to you.
Okay. Yeah, I could also imagine that when we have Mercury that rules the speech, now how we express ourselves, and it's in Aries, I could imagine that some people also experience some inflammation in the mouth. Now, such inflammation of the gums or mouth sores or other inflammations. And in Ayurveda, what we use is oil pulling to help cool heat in the mouth. And I would take during the month of April, maybe coconut oil, because it's more cooling. And so how does it work? No, like you can just take like a tablespoon of oil, you can put it in your mouth, then you swish the oil around in your mouth for about like 15, 20 minutes and make it really sure that you move it around all parts of your mouth, you know, also including between your teeth. And it's like one of the best ways, and also to prevent caries. And then, of course, we don't swallow the oil, and as it contains all the toxins that we drone out from our mouths. Like I always recommend just to spit it into a rubbish bin. And then we can also rinse the mouth just with warm water. And yeah, and during this practice, we can just bring our attention to our mouth, to our tongue in particular. And then afterwards, it's kind of like, yeah, we have purified our mouth. And then we can, yeah, allow ourselves to speak more mindfully, calmly, yeah, with more compassion, what you also mentioned. And yeah, I mean, this month is so intense. And
Yeah.
Are you already meant?
I love oil pulling. I think oil pulling is great. And I have to say, though, I was at first very afraid to do it. And I was like, there's no way I can do this for 10 minutes. And yes. So I gave myself permission to only do it for 30 seconds. And then I got past the 30 seconds and I was like, well, there's no problem at all to do this. So mm-hmm. I appreciate that recommendation.
Yeah. And what you just mentioned is also very important with when we create new habits, we start tiny. We take tiny little baby steps. So if you do it for 30 seconds, you spit it out and the next day you go maybe for 45 seconds or you just do 1 week of 30 seconds of oil pulling. This is amazing. And because if we sometimes start too big, no, like, oh, let's do 20 minutes. And then, oh my God, 20 minutes, I don't manage that every day. I don't have the time to do it. And then what happens? Frustration, we skip the habit and then we don't do it anymore. So yeah, that's a good point. Start with 30 seconds and then see what happens.
Absolutely. All right. And the next energy I really want you to pay attention to is on April 10th, Mars will come together with Saturn at 14 degrees of the sign of Pisces. You know, that Mars and energy is amplified because of the cluster of planets in Aries. And for Mars to encounter Saturn, it is kind of like all of a sudden the young warrior meets Father Time. He collides with the rules. He collides with something kind of harsh and possibly cruel. And in that Pisces energy, it can feel very... You know, I feel like Saturn in Pisces is kind of like you're walking through a cold pond and you're ankle deep, but you don't know if the next step is going to take you up to your knees. And so you have this kind of uncertainty. I've had a lot of clients reach out and just had this kind of general sense of unease. And I think that that is partially this Saturn in Pisces. But when Mars meets it, you have to watch. People will be just a little bit more, again, aggravated. They'll be kind of lashing out, and it's a little bit of a tougher energy to kind of put your finger on. So there's a little bit of uncertainty and coldness to it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was interesting you mentioned not using ice in your drinks and things like that, because I do think a lot of times when people feel a heat imbalance, they immediately go to the extreme opposite. And that's not the answer, is it?
No, that's not the answer. Like, I mean, in Ayurveda, we say like increases like, opposites balance. So you want, when you have such a heat wave, you don't want to drink hot water. Yeah, you don't want to eat hot soups. But you can still have your soup, but then you eat it at room temperature or just, slightly warm. And this energy that you just described, this cold, harsh energy. And I think also Pisces in Saturn is not really comfortable there. And I mean, Saturn is all about discipline and Pisces is about chaos.
So, right.
No. So I think this combination is really a tricky one. And like the plant that comes to my mind is chamomile. And chamomile is really assigned to the element earth. And the essence of this planet is really comfort and patience and gentleness and motherliness. And when, like, Pisces is also, I think, also correct me here because I'm not an expert in that, but I think it's one of the most sensitive signs in the zodiac sign.
Absolutely.
And when the sensitivity is heightened, then people, situations, not the environment and one's own body, they really appear like in an exaggerated light. And then we might feel much more vulnerable, unsheltered, very sensitive to pain, more irritable. Yeah. Maybe we might react angrily and impatiently at the slightest provocation. And what then often happens is that we might shut down, because Pisces then withdraws and in order to protect themselves. And I think in these situations, chamomile, that is really, it conveys a very peaceful gentleness. Yeah, it's allowing one to open up again. And I know Pisces energy very well because I have my ascendant in Pisces, no? But I also know that we have a major event happening in the earth sign of Taurus, right? When is it occurring?
It is on April 20th. We have the important meeting of Jupiter and Uranus in the sign of Taurus. It is around 21 degrees if you know your chart. And it is it is an erratic energy. You know, Uranus really does not prefer to be in the sign of Taurus. Taurus likes things to be stable and likes to, you know, things to be beautiful and steady. And Uranian energy is about rebellion and freedom and synchronicities and higher levels of technology like the internet. I would expect some major technological news and advances, but also rebellions, shocking events. It's definitely a time again to kind of keep a little bit of space so that you can see which way it's kind of unfolding for you. Be open to magic and synchronicities. But again, Taurus, you have to watch resources, money, things like that. And I would say one of the big lessons of that meeting might even to be to encourage us to make sure to maintain our humanity, you know, and that's, again, Ayurveda figures so well into that, because understanding your physical body, your physical being, and how to maintain it, it influences your experience here so strongly. So how do you stay steady when your nervous system is feeling like you're being zapped?
Yeah, no, we really need some grounding practices during that time, no? Walking barefoot on grass or sand or soil, hugging a tree, you know, gardening, spending some time in nature to reconnect with the earth element. This can be very helpful, no, to stabilize this erratic energy that you just described. And also what you also mentioned, no, this regular daily routines. No, like in Ayurveda, we want to have consistent meal times. We want to have a consistent sleep schedule. Yeah, so we really want to have a sleep-wake cycle that our body is used to, because this is also what calms the nervous system down. Yeah, so you mentioned technology that we could maybe have breakthroughs, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It should be really interesting to see how that comes through. And, you know, especially because Pluto is newly in Aquarius, technology is in the next 20 years, things are going to unfold so much more rapidly that that we really can scarcely understand exactly where everything is going technologically, and managing our nervous system through that process is going to be key.
So you think that we will engage maybe even more in using technology in the next 20 years?
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, it is, things will evolve and shift in ways that we truly can't imagine. Mm-hmm. It's cosmic.
It's cosmic.
It truly is. But it's one of those things where we must maintain our humanity and our individuality. There'll be, there can be a conformist kind of level related to that Aquarian energy. And so that's why this Taurian energy might really highlight where we need to stabilize. It also could cause some weather events to Uranus, Uranus and Taurus with Jupiter. Jupiter is an amplifier. So Jupiter would have last been in this area of your chart 12 years ago, if you want to look back. But this time with the co-presence of Uranus, there's something you have to break free of. And it's important to kind of observe your personal symbols, but also the symbols in the greater world. So I think you'll be feeling that at least a week before, and I would say 2 weeks after.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. And then we have a full moon on the 23rd. It's at 4:18 Scorpio. It's not the most pleasant full moon. It's got some tense aspects, especially it squares to Pluto. And so I think there will be some secrets revealed during that time. It's definitely highly emotional and a time when you really need to let go of something. Make it be a fear that you've been holding. It could be a secret that's been kept that you need to just liberate yourself from in some ways. You know, full moons are really about letting go, and we'll finally be getting away from the eclipse energy a little bit, which will be good. But you know, that clash with Pluto, it'll be deeply cathartic in some way. So just be ready to loosen your grip on the thing that needs to leave.
Yeah. I find always like Scorpio full moons for me, they're always super intense. And one of my favorite ways to deal with this mix, no, of water and air emotions that you just described, that is happening at this full moon is to shake my body. And I learned this from a technique from Osho's Kundalini meditation. And this, when you do the classic Kundalini meditation, it lasts for an hour. It consists of four different phases, but you don't need to do the whole session. No, just also shaking your body for 15 minutes can be super beneficial. And like, you start by very gently shaking your body from your feet. And then it's kind of, I always say, it's naturally moving up, no, through your legs, torso, arms, head. And then, yeah, just to allow the shaking movements to take over if they want to, and to flow naturally without forcing them. But this, I find it helps very much to bring hidden feelings to the surface. And I mean, Scorpio is always about, you know, having secrets and having the things like in the deep waters, and they want to hide, and yeah, they want to manipulate. And then, yeah, just all of that comes up. And I find this shaking, this really helps, yeah, to also to release excess energy, also fiery energy, but also that the stuff just comes to the surface. Also, each time when I feel like, oh, I just feel kind of strange, I can't describe how I'm feeling, and then I'm doing some shaking, that's really good. But I would recommend after shaking, lay down on the floor in Shavasana. Yeah, it's also known as a corpse pose. Like, you lie on your back, the legs are hip width apart, your arms are by your sides with the palms facing upwards. And we say in yoga, like, this really helps to balance the flow of prana throughout your body. And yeah, while we are also like, we remain still, we surrender to gravity, now all our muscles have time to relax, and the breath returns to its natural rhythm after the shaking. And yeah, and I find also after these two things, first the shaking, then Shavasana, then yeah, you feel much more calm. But still, like during that time, during that full moon that you describe, which is happening in Scorpio, when you do this shaking meditation stuff, sometimes a couple of hours later or a day later, then something just pops up and it becomes crystal clear why you felt so much unrest or anger or jealousy or sadness. Yeah, this is...
Yeah, that's amazing. There's actually a type of massage therapy. I believe it's called Trigger. It's a type of massage that involves shaking. Yeah. And it is to release emotions. And yeah, it's, you know, even you think of an animal when they get like have a shock or something sudden happens to their physical bodies, they will often shake. It's a kind of a resetting of the nervous system. And then I know a lot of people want to skip Shavasana, especially the people who need it. but I always think of Shavasana, the way I describe it to people is like, well, you can't get the nutrients of a meal if you don't take time to digest it. And that is what Shavasana does. You move the energy and then you have to let the body integrate it. And so it's an active state of rest. It's not sleeping. It's not taking a nap. It's allowing there to be an integration. And often it really helps to listen to music or something that can be soothing so the mind isn't racing, you know. You had mentioned before about you needed guided meditations and things like that. Concentration is what you need when the mind is really active. Meditation can sometimes just be like, wow, it's quite the mess in there. This is not helpful at all to try to solve this problem by just clearing the mind. There's too much going on, but concentration is one of the keys. So, yeah, I love that for the idea of that full moon. And yeah, sometimes it's like clearing the windshield, right? You can't see until you move that stuff out. And then all of a sudden the clarity comes and the integration of all the energies of the month. And we finish the month with an interesting aspect. On the 28th, we've got Mars meeting Neptune in Pisces. And, you know, it's at the late degrees. Neptune's actually finishing up its lengthy time in Pisces. It will move into Aries next year. And, but Mars conjuncting Neptune can be very much an energy of confusion, of delusion. And it's a time to really watch volatile people, because people will be passionate about the wrong things. I always call Mars and Neptune boldly going in the wrong direction. And so there's this need to kind of tune in, right, with the meditation or concentration, whatever clears the mind, because this Pisces energy, like you said before, it can be so confusing. And it can be this desire also to actively block what you're feeling or sensing, to disappear into, you know, a weekend of Netflix or, you know, take something to just knock you out when you go to sleep, and then you wake up feeling not rested at all. Mm-hmm. So it definitely a time where the amplifications of some of the events that happen when Mars meets Saturn will become a little bit more, the volume will go up a little bit, but not necessarily the clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, again, using some of the techniques that you mentioned, staying clear on things, staying on point, on focus, you know, it needs a little bit of logic, you know, Pisces needs a little bit of logic sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I would think even with this energy, you would want to, you know, there might be this desire to like get the bag of potato chips and eat them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Pisces, Pisces is also about addictions, no? And mm-hmm. they look for comfort in the wrong things, no? In food or what you said, just watching Netflix for hours. Yeah, just to go into that numb state where they just don't have to feel what they should feel.
Absolutely.
And, that Absolutely. Can be challenging.
Yeah. Yeah, and with the with both Saturn and the Neptune and the Mars there in Pisces this month, make sure that the food that you're eating is clean as well. That's something just you know, paying a little bit more attention to the purity of your water, making sure that, you know, you don't eat the leftovers that you left out.
No, but you're right, because also Pisces energy, like, they're super sensitive to food. They also are prone to food allergies. And like to everything, if there are impurities, or if there are toxins, they will react to it. And so many people, me included, like have food sensitivities. And, and then during that time, like this will be, it will be even, more increased. Yes. Yeah. Wow. It's going to be an exceptional month. So,
truly. Yeah,
I really hope our insights help you, dear listeners, transition with ease through April. Do you have any upcoming events this month still?
I have an interesting online event on Odyssey, the platform, where I look at the astrology of April with a psychic medium who checks in, Anne Bayford, checks in with her guides. And so that is always informative. So we'll have that coming out. That'll be on YouTube. And and I'm going to be taking a lot of time to work in the garden. How about you? What do you have coming up?
What do I have coming up in April? Yeah, let's see what April has in store for me. I have one spot left for VIP coaching for my 20-week Hormone Thrive course starting in April. So, and this is a course that helps women heal gut, sleep, weight, and hormone issues with the help of Ayurveda. It combines also some wisdom with yoga, habit science, and it also brings in the latest insights from Western medicine. And I usually run it as a group program. However, now I'm offering it as a VIP coaching to provide even more support so that, women can achieve the body they desire. And I find always this, this energy of Aries is always amazing to, start new projects or to define what we are going to do, with, the months, until, we go on summer holidays. Yeah, that was wonderful, Jill. Thanks so much for your cosmic insights. And I'm really looking forward to our next episode in May.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. I learned a lot today, and I'm definitely looking forward to incorporating some of these Ayurvedic tips to manage what will definitely be a page turner of a month.
Thanks for joining in today. To learn more about the Thrive Podcast or to get involved in Karina's growing community and online courses, visit KarinaGrueling.com. Remain committed to intentional choices that help you grow and thrive in your body and life, because you're worth it.